Hey, we're going to go to Matthew chapter number 1 this morning. Matthew 1. I feel like I'm a little loud. That might just be in the monitors on the stage. Sound guys, if you can help me out there, give me a little bit of room to be loud on my own. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18 through 25 is where I want to read today. And you guys are going to have to, Jose, I know you came up. Sorry, let me give this to you. Sarai, can I hand that to you? You guys can help me out in connecting that one there. Thanks so much. You can roll through those verses for me in the back because I want to go ahead and get started, and we lost that connection there. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. What we're going to do is spend a few weeks looking at the Christmas account and some of the individuals in the Christmas story and some lessons from them. We'll kick that off today by looking at the young couple and the baby himself that Mary gave birth to and laid in the manger. So I want to read about that to you in the first chapter of Matthew, verses 18 through 25. It says this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. If you guys can scroll through that for me. Yeah, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Oh, we're going to get this one. Yeah, sorry, they're working on the iPad to get the connection made, and we'll get that back. I'm just going to read through it in my own text here, and you guys try to keep up with me. I'm going to start back at the beginning. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for your word as always as we come to it. It is a light unto our path. It's a lamp to our feet, Lord God. We're so grateful for it. I pray that as we consider the account of the coming of our Savior today, that although it's one that we've heard many times for most of us, I pray that once again your word will be fresh bread to us today and that you will equip us to live for you through it. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And church, would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that you're always with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. In Revelation, we find Jesus described in a number of unique ways in Revelation, but two in particular that I would mention to you. Thank you so much. Isn't my wife beautiful? Yes, thank you so much. two in particular that I want to point out to you. One in Revelation 5 is where Jesus is described as the lion of the tribe of Judah who had conquered. But we also find in Revelation Jesus referred to as the King of Kings. So when we think of the baby, the Christ child this morning, I want you to think of him, if you will, as the original Lion King. You know who the Lion King is, the modern one, if you will, but Jesus is the first Lion King. In the movie The Lion King, most of you have seen it or know the story, but if not, just to set the scene for you a little bit, there's a little baby that's born, a lion cub actually, who's named Simba. And in fact, when I was in Africa one time, I saw a lion. And when I did, I called out Simba. And the guy with me complimented me on that I knew the word for lion in Swahili. And I did not know what I was saying. I was like, nope, nope. I just said names from the Lion King. I started yelling, Nala, Scar. Anyway, so I don't know. When Simba was dedicated, if you will, in the movie, all of the animals of the kingdom came out. Everybody was there. Everybody was a part of it. But when the Christ child came, there was almost no one there. Jesus was born in incredible isolation. Now, the city was, or the town of Bethlehem was very busy at the time, and yet when we read the account of his birth, there are only a few individuals who are present or who show up at it, and we're considering that quiet birth of Jesus being born and laid in a manger today. Our journey through looking at the characters in the story will begin with them, and I want us to glean some truths from their journey that we can apply in our own lives as well, because that's the whole purpose of God's Word. This is a great story, but the purpose of the story, of course, is that we would learn about God and be able to walk with Him and be equipped for Him. Amen? I love the Christmas story. In my home, when my kids were growing up, we didn't open presents until I had read the Christmas story to them out of either Luke or Matthew. It was a tradition in our family, was that before we would open gifts, always I would read one of those two options to them. You have never seen children so eager to have the Bible read to them in all your life as my sons on Christmas. They would be running into the room carrying Bibles, hurling them at me. Read, read the Bible. My kids loved the Word of God. It was amazing. They loved the Word of God. Such a hunger for it. Had nothing to do with what would follow, But when we consider the account, we want to look at some truths from it today. And the first one I want you to catch today is that our God is a God of wonder, a God of wonders. He is awesome. He is amazing. Psalm 40 verse 5 says this, "O Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them." What a description of our God. Amen? He is a God of wonder. He's a God of majesty. Now, we all know virgins don't have babies. We know that. Mary knew that. It was known then, just it's not something we figured out since then. We all knew that. And it's why Mary, from the very beginning of the account we read in Luke, second-guessed the plan. When the angel came to her, her initial response, of course, is, "How can this be? How can this be?" But our God is a God of wonder. Our God is a God who does amazing things. Imagine the situation leading up to the birth of Christ. Mary is very young. In that day, she's probably no more than about 13 to 15 years of age at the oldest. Girls got married very young at that time. So she's a very young individual who is betrothed to Joseph. An engagement at that time, it's stronger than an engagement now in that you would actually need to divorce someone once you were engaged in order to get out of the wedding. So if somebody knelt down and said, "Will you marry me?" and you said yes, you were already in, even though the ceremony hadn't taken place yet. You can't say yes unless you're in. You can't say yes and think about it and give the ring back. That's why Joseph would have to divorce her later. But she's his betrothed wife. They're not actually together yet. And she has that situation where the angel comes to her. She, of course, has the baby now within her after the Holy Spirit places the child within her. She's pregnant out of wedlock. The stigma of that in her day is enormous. It's a very religious culture. The first century Jewish culture is. And when she tells Joseph about it, we know the story. He wants to call the wedding off. He doesn't want to be a part of it. She leaves town and goes and stays and lives with her cousin and goes into hiding. The whole situation looks like a mess, but God was about to blow her mind. God was about to blow her mind, and everybody in it was what God was going to do. It was incredible. He is a God of wonder. You can't fit our God in a box. You can't put a list of things and say this is how God works and he has to operate within it, if you will. God doesn't stick to the rules of how we think things should work. He's God. He's awesome. If God wants to walk on water, guess what? He'll walk on water. If God wants Axe Head to float, guess what? It's going to float. If God wants somebody to get swallowed by a fish and 3 days later spit them out, they're going to get swallowed by a fish, and 3 days later, God doesn't have to follow any natural rules or laws the way we know them. He's a God of wonder. He's an amazing God. He's creative, we know that. And again throughout history, just when it looks like you read it in God's Word, and we've seen it in our lives, when it looks like nothing's going to work, God shows up, and things fall into place, and he's still the same God today that he was then. Amen? He's the same God. We know that. He still works creatively in our lives. You serve a God of wonder. Hear me, friend. Just because you can't figure out how to work out your situation doesn't mean God doesn't already have a plan of how it's going to work out. Are you with me? I might be lost at what to do and what I'm up against. But God's already got it all figured out. He already knows how it's all going to come together. That's our God. That's who He is. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when you've seen or heard something enough, it can become routine to you. And we don't want to be careful of that. That same God who moved wondrously on that first Christmas, He still does today as well. Don't miss the wonder of the manger. But let me keep moving because I want to give you a few different things today from this account. And the second one is this that I see in this account with this young couple. And that's that obedience isn't always obedience isn't always easy, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it to obey. All three of those originally at the manger scene demonstrate incredible obedience to God the Father. With the Christ child himself, it's true, the baby Jesus. We know that Jesus left heaven and came to earth as a part of the plan of the Father. He became a baby. It was the Father's plan. And Jesus, as God the Son, is walking in the plan of God the Father with the Holy Spirit empowering everyone and it taking place. Our triune Godhead, three in one, working together in perfect unity with this. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that when Jesus lived on earth, that he humbled himself and he became obedient even unto death on a cross. Jesus was always obedient to the will of the Father. He always was. He's our example in all of this. But on the night of his birth, the couple's obedience stands out to me dramatically as well. You know, Mary could have responded negatively. You've responded negatively to God before, right? Two of us have. The rest of you have always done what you were supposed to do. You've responded negatively to God before. You've read in the Bible, here's what you're supposed to do. And then went and did something else. Hello, right? You had God lay on your heart to do something and then have held back and have not done that something. We've all been guilty of that along the way. Mary's a real person just like we are. She is in her life as well. She could have responded as an individual negatively, but she doesn't. She doesn't. This was a lot to process. And you know, the angel doesn't even ask her permission. The angel doesn't show up and say, Mary, God wants to send a baby, and he wants the baby to be born of a virgin. So here's what we're thinking about. Would you be willing to be that mother? That's not what happens. The angel shows up and just tells Mary the plan. Just tells her the plan. Come on, there's a shocker in and of itself. Not do you want to do it. You got the baby whether you want the baby or not. But her response is still up to her at that point. Her reaction is still up to her at that point. And after, when she is first told that, she, if you read the account in Luke, she gives the angel a quick lesson on the birds and the bees. And then she responds when he tells her how it's going to take place in Luke 1:38. It says, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. That's incredible obedience. Everything you've said, let's do it like that. Let's do it that way. Incredible obedience. Joseph follows suit. We know Joseph's response at first. He wants to cancel everything. I mean, can you blame him? He wants to call it all off. He doesn't want to go through with the wedding. He doesn't want to go through with the marriage. He's got a whole plan of how can I get out of all of this? How can I? The Bible says he wants to put her away quietly and try to avoid embarrassing her. And yet he doesn't want to go through with it. But then he has a dream where an angel visits him and tells him to marry Mary. And then we get his response in Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Now, there's no way to answer the hypothetical question of the what if, but what if? What if Joseph says no? What if Joseph says, I'm out, and he goes through with the whole divorcement and says, I'm out, because I've said no to God before, and I don't think I'm by myself. Hello, I got the right crowd, right? We haven't always done what God called us to do, what we believe God wanted us to do. What if Joseph's like, you know, that one's a bit too much. I don't think I can handle this one. I'm out. Here's what I want you to catch a couple of things about that. The grace of God is amazing. It's amazing. Had Joseph responded in such a way, would God have forgiven him? You better believe God would have forgiven him if he had turned back and said, God, forgive me for what I've done. God, I want to follow you. I want to live for you now. God would have forgiven him. The mercies of God are new every morning. Weren't they new to you this morning? They were new to me this morning. We wake up and the mercies of God are fresh every day in our lives. The grace of God would have been there, but he would have missed out on so much. He would have missed it all. Here's the thing with obedience. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it because of the way God operates within it. God will call us to do things sometimes that could be difficult, but there's always then this blessing that comes in that act of obedience. And if I don't obey God along the way, is God going to forgive me? And has God forgiven me? Sure, but I miss what I could have had. I miss what I could have experienced in that. Joseph would have missed the whole wonder of the virgin birth and all that took place and having been there with the Christ child. And that's the same in our lives. When God calls me to do something that's radical, when God calls me to do something, I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to do that. The idea of can I still remain in Christ if I resist him? To God be the glory, his grace will be sufficient for you. But you will always miss something. You will always miss out on what you could have had, what you could have experienced, because you won't have walked in what God had for you in that season. You don't want to miss what God has. Come on, amen? And God doesn't only call us to do easy things. This was not an easy thing that God was calling them to. This was a radical thing that God was calling them to. Sometimes obeying God can be challenging, but the same God who moved miraculously and marvelously for them will for you, will for me as well, if we will trust him and say yes to him. It's always worth it to obey God and let him direct our paths. Amen? Let me keep moving. Because as they did, they discovered something as well, and that is that faith is greater than fear. Faith is greater than fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Always is. It doesn't make any sense to say, do not be afraid, unless Joseph is afraid. The angel shows up in the dream, and what are his words to him? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. If he says it, then we know something. Guess how Joseph feels? He's afraid. Of course he's afraid. That's why he's being told that. I mean, could you blame him? Can you imagine? Come on, where are my brothers? All my brothers, wave at me. Wave at me. Come on. Wave at me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the girl you're engaged to, your girlfriend walks in and says, listen, we need to talk. First off, wives, I'll give you a little hint. That's like the greatest phrase for every husband in the world anyway. We're terrified of our wives walking in and saying we need to talk. We're like, no, we don't. Everything is fine. So anyway, we don't need to talk about nothing. Anyway, so she comes in. We need to talk. We need to talk. And he sits. He knows, oh, this is going to be serious. He's probably thinking, what did I do now? Whatever else. And then she tells him, Joseph, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. But it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who got me pregnant. Come on. Can you imagine? Do you know what it was like to, I mean, I know you don't know. But can you imagine walking through this? We don't know the conversation because the Bible doesn't give us the conversation, but we do know his reaction. We know his reaction because the Bible tells us he wants to call everything off. So his reaction is not that he stood up and hugged her and said, it's okay, we're going to get through this together. His reaction was, you're going to be on your own, but I'm going to do my best to not embarrass you. He was like, I can't do this one with you. His reaction is, I'm out. I'm out in this situation, is his response. This was going to require an enormous amount of faith. He's afraid. He's afraid to walk through this altogether. Can you imagine how it's humiliating? It's scandalous. Everybody would be talking, and you know that happened. Can you imagine his friends coming to him and Joseph trying to explain to his friends? This is real stuff that went on. What do you mean she's pregnant? How could she be pregnant already? It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. The way we laugh, you know the reaction then was just as crazy. Come on. This had never happened before. Nobody would buy it. It was ridiculous altogether, the whole plan. Again, he's a God of wonder. He's a God of wonder. And Joseph is afraid. Everything about it seems scary. But when God speaks to him, when he sees the plan, he chooses to obey and he chooses to operate in faith instead of fear, and he gets to experience what God has for him. Hebrews tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. We hold on to our faith. Before Joseph and Mary could see the outcome, all they had was faith. Faith. And they believed. They believed. Faith is what leads Noah to build an ark. The Bible tells us that it had never rained before then. The ground was watered through just a dew in the morning. It had never rained, and yet God told Noah it's going to rain. And by faith, what did he do? he built the ark. Faith is what causes a guy like Moses to be bold enough to go stand before the most powerful man in the world at that time, the Pharaoh of the Egyptian Empire, and stand before him with his staff and his brother to cry out, "Let my people go." All he's got is faith. He's just got faith at that point. Faith was greater than his fear. Faith is what David has when he walks out to face the giant of Goliath in his situation. He faces him anyway because his faith triumphs over his fear. You've experienced faith in your own life. For some of you, faith is how you started your business. It's how you've shared the gospel at school. It's how you've given sacrificially to meet a need or help someone in trouble. Fear will always want to hold you back, but faith says go. Let your faith be greater than your fear. Come on. Let your faith be stronger than your fear. Walk by faith, not by fear. God will not fail you. Amen? Now, let me give you this. I want to keep moving because I've got two more, and the last one pulls them all together, and that's this in the account. These other three that I've looked at, really, it's the mom and dad, although baby Jesus with obedience, but that we've looked at. But I want you to consider the baby with me today as well in that birth account, and that is from him we see this truth of Jesus came to save us from our sins. Matthew 1:21 says this, "And she will have a son," this is the angel speaking to Joseph, "and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." There is this bizarre notion in the day in which we live, in a modern day, that you can love God and still just live a life of sin. Are you with me? We live in a day and in a culture where this permeates our culture all around, this notion that God can be your best friend and Jesus is your homeboy and you love God, but you just live a life of sin, but you love God. Jesus did not come to leave people in their sins. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Are you with me? He is a deliverer. Jesus did not leave heaven and come to earth and live a life without sin, and then our sins were removed off of us and placed on him, and he went all the way to the cross of Calvary and gave his life so that we could still live in bondage to sin. That's not what Jesus came for. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to redeem us. He came to make us new. He came to break chains, to break bondages in our lives altogether. That's why Jesus came, not to do it. He came to whom the Son has set free, is free indeed, praise God. If I say I believe in God, but then I just choose to just live a life of sin, it's contrary to the whole thing that Christ came to do. God wants to transform us. God wants to make us new. The Bible says old things pass away and all things become new when we are in him. I've seen lives radically transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, you have as well. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them who believe. God transforms lives. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Man, I could bring Bernard Coleman up in here with me. Bernard Coleman, when he first showed up at church, he had been living with his husband at that time for quite some time in a life of homosexuality. He was bound in that lifestyle. And when he came to church and committed his life to Christ, God radically transformed Bernard's life. Was it an immediate, instant transformation? He had to get sanctified and grow like anybody else would have to. But I will tell you, as I stand here now, Bernard is married to his wife and has children that are beautiful, praise God. Now, if I talk to Bernard, I say, "Bernard, do you ever get tempted? Are you ever drawn back to that old way of life?" He's like, "Sure. Sure, that's the sin that doth so easily beset me. The devil still tries to entice me to pull me back. But you know what? Jesus came to set me free. He forgave me of my sins. He made me new. He's changed my life." That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus didn't come to leave us in sin. He came to transform our lives and to make us new in him, to change our lives. Milton McHenry, Brother Mac, as we all knew him as over the years, he's gone home to be with Jesus now. He was a big drug dealer in the Bronx. He and a partner, they had guys working for them. They had a storefront. that they was just a front for them to deal with their drugs out of. And Brother Mac, when he got arrested, he'd been arrested many times, but when he got arrested one time where he was caught big, and the bail was set so high it was ridiculous. I can't remember what it was, but his wife showed up with the bail, with the bond money in cash to set it there. And the judge's response was, "I don't want that drug money." And they took him off to put him in jail. And to hear his account firsthand, he went into a jail cell that had any number of beds in it. And everybody else took a bed first. And he went over to the last one and he pulled the blanket back. And there was a New Testament laying on the only bed that was left. And he said, "I sat in the light of the hallway and I read the Bible all night. All night." And the next day, he was not the same man that he was before. He did not get out of jail after all that was done to go back and be a drug dealer, because Jesus came to save him from his sins. His life was radically transformed. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the life of people I love. You have as well. Come on. God did not come and send his son to die for us so that we could then just fumble around and live lives of sin. Are you with me today? The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. He wants to come to you. He wants to come to me and say, "It's okay to live in sin. God understands. God loves you. God loves you no matter what." He just wants to lie to you, to just have you just continue to live a life of sin, because the devil knows the destructiveness of sin. But God knows the destructiveness of sin. That's why he came to set us free from it. That's why he came to liberate us from bondages in our lives. Amen? God wants us to repent, to receive his grace, to then grow in him. We can do that because of what Jesus did. And this last truth I want to give you today, it's what equips us to do all of these things that I just shared with you, and that is the truth that God is with us. God is with us. Matthew 1:23 says this: "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." If you're sitting near somebody, tell them God is with you. Those words were spoken first 700 years before Jesus came. Isaiah is written 700 years before Christ is born. And the prophecy came that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and they would call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us. God is always with us. When I look at the manger scene, I'm reminded of that. I'm reminded of the truth that God is with me, that he is with us, that Jesus became flesh. You know, I love the cross. Cross hangs on the wall here behind me. I love the cross even as you do as well. The cross reminds me that God came to bring me eternal peace. But the manger reminds me that God came to bring me peace on earth. That God is with me. He is with me. The cross reminds me that I will live with God forever. But the manger reminds me that God is with me now. That he is here. The cross reminds me that I don't need to fear death. But the manger reminds me that I don't need to fear life here as well, because that's where I am right now. That God is with me. God is with me. I love knowing that God is prepared for my eternity, but I'm not there yet. I'm still here, and God is with me. He is with you as well. God is with us. Our God is a God of wonder. He is a miraculous God. He is an amazing God. You say, "Well, Pastor, those stories are great, but can I really expect God to move so miraculously and wondrously in my life?" Sure you can. God is with you. God is with you. Praise God. Obedience wasn't just worth it for them. Obedience is worth it for me. Following God's word and God's call is worth it for you. We say, but Pastor, sometimes obeying God is hard. Can I really live a life where I follow God and obey him? Sure you can. God is with you. God is with you. Faith is always greater than fear and will triumph over it. Is it challenging at times to walk by faith and not by sight and let it overcome fear? Yeah, it can be. Can you do it? Sure you can. God is with you. God is with you. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. You say, Pastor, I've been bound in sin for a long time, and nothing I've done has worked. I stay in bondage. Do you really believe, Pastor, that God, yes, you can be set free. God is with you. When you understand the truth that God is with you, all things are possible. Nothing's too hard. Your faith will triumph over your fears. You can expect the miraculous in your life. He is with us. Amen? Let the manger remind you this year and always that God is with you. You'll see him this time of year in the Christmas season. You see them in our lobby, around. They'll show up in plays and TV shows and movies and wherever else. The little manger scene of Joseph and Mary and laying that baby Jesus in a manger. That baby came as God himself for us. God is with us. Amen? Call his name Emmanuel. Because he's with us, we can believe God for all this and all that he has for us. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Our God is mighty. Our God is powerful. Our God is awesome. He's a God of wonder. He's a God of majesty. He's a God that nothing is too difficult for. Nothing is too hard for. Nothing is too hard for. Man, whichever one of these, and maybe several of them fall on you today. Maybe as you stand, you say, wow, I need a miracle from God in my life. I want you to hold on to believing God for it today, knowing that he's with you. He's a God of wonder. Maybe you've been walking in disobedience, but you've ended up in church today. And you realize, man, you know what? It's been hard for me to obey God, but I need to. I need to do what I know God has called me to do and follow his word. Today's the day to say, you know what, God? I know you're with me. Thanks for never leaving me, God. Thanks for your grace and your mercy always being there. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you with all my heart. Maybe there's been doubt in your life and you've been afraid to step out in faith in an area. But today's the day to say, you know what, God, I know you're with me. I know you're with me. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you. And if there's sin in your life, if there's sin in your life that has continued to linger, and maybe you gave up on living as an overcomer, today's the day to say, you know what, God, thanks for never leaving me. Thanks for never giving up on me. Thanks for your grace. But I know you're with me, God. And I know you came to set me free from sin. To set me free from sin. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live for you. I know you're with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We commit ourselves to him this day. We're going to sing that great carol we sang at the end of our worship time. We'll sing it as a song of commitment as well as we sing this together. Kelly, lead us in that. And after we sing this together, I'll pray for us.
Oh, come.